There's more than one way to use whatever you bought. I remember once we had a vacuum sweeper going in here, and I think it was a C sharp. Well, if you can get a good C sharp on your piano, you pay the piano tuner to give you that C sharp. That vacuum cleaner stayed C sharp all summer. It's not only a vacuum cleaner, it's a C sharp. And for some people, it's also a job. A thing isn't only one thing. Nothing is just one thing. Some things in the church, some objects, some events in the church are so special, or in your life are so special, that they trigger everything, and you have to swallow, and then you've been everywhere and back. I guess sometimes we call these, some of these may be called symbols, where something takes on such enormous meaning, you could meditate, you could have awe, you could wonder, you could have peace. Candles do that. Some, you know, another way of saying shh is light a candle. I mean, candles, they're not just candles. They take you to places that you haven't told anybody. Candles stir the unconscious, and it meets the conscious, and you have new consciousness. Simple candles become simply profound. And what I need when I meet here in Koinonia, as I do year after year, it seems, is at least one friend. And sometimes I pay him and bring him in. I know that creativity, what it needs is, it needs support. It needs a support system. Even if it's one person, that's a support system. Because creativity really means, I think it means, to do your best at whatever. Sometimes it's painting, and sometimes it's praying, and sometimes it's listening. You can be a very creative listener. You can be creative in listening, I'll put it that way. You can be creative in painting. You can be creative in running. I remember question number two in the seminary. Maybe some of you were in that class, and I remember that question number two was you ask your own question. That was a very hard question. I remember the class resenting it. In other words, make up your own question and then answer it. They wanted me to make up their question. This way I gave them the freedom to make up their own question. And some got so angry. They thought at least I could give them the question. I gave them the answer, which was make up your own question. All they had to do was write the question down. One fellow still hasn't handed his in. But I at least know what state he's living in now. I also know what condition he's living in. Every time he sees me, he says, it's coming. I think he means Christ and he means his question. I think it may be the same. He's gotten so involved, I think it's the same. I've asked him for his most important question, and I think every time he thinks he's got it ready to mail to me, I think it's new again. He can't hold it still. I remember the one student in that class that year, very angry. He was really angry, and at least I knew he was angry. I'm sure that others didn't demonstrate that to me. And finally, he said to me, I know my question. I said, fine. He said, will you run with me? I said, that is a very good question. I could just see that as a poem. I mean, this had to do with creativity. And he said, will you run with me? Can't you? I could just hear that. No, he said, will you run with me? I said, a collage. That's a painting. No, he says, will you run with me? I said, you must be kidding. No, he says, I'm a runner. I'm a runner, and my question is, will you run with me? I said, how about a poem? A collage? A painting? A questionnaire? Anything? No, he says, I run since high school. Will you run with me? I got out my little red book and said, yeah, on a Friday night on my street at the end of town. All right. And he came. And we ran. That was a creative act. That's how he lives out his life. He runs. He thinks he's a runner. And that night, when he and I ran, he knew he was a runner. And what I found out that night is, while he ran, which was kind of a walk, and while I really ran and sweat, had no time to talk, he talked. He talked more in that one run than he had, than I had permitted him, you know, to talk in the whole course. Then he said, when I get into the parish, I'm going to have the longest classroom in the church. I could understand that. And then he saw me. That's the thing. When you get something going, then you see each other again. And then he saw me and he said, I ran with an Indian, and on foot I brought him the gospel, and he's in the church. I have the longest classroom. I'll see him again. And he'll remember, and I'll remember, that we ran together one night at Friday, and that was his creative act. This that I wore was the best a pastor could do in a continuing education class in Columbus. He refused to hand in a paper. I said, any other form, he made me a shirt. But he couldn't give it to me, he mailed it to me. But that was good for this man. That was the first thing he did without a typewriter. He did it with a sewing machine. He really saw himself come through this cloth. And he remembers everything that he put into it. And it was a course that had to do with caring. The name of the course was ministry. He cared for me this way. And he needed to, and I really needed it. I needed it from him. Now, creativity then is not only short stories and poems, and how many ways can you... here's another way you can get your finger... Not very dirty. Well, the outside you can. Now, the problem is I left the mark. Now I really should dust the whole thing. We could play tic-tac-toe. I wonder how that would feel up here. I really ruined it. It was better dirty.
You haven't lost yet.
No. I haven't lost yet. Rope. Wood. Find five different places on that wood. And then put them in an order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can use all sides of the wood. Just find five different areas in this wood board that I'm giving you. Just point to five things, just memorize them in a row. Find them. Look the board over. Just look it over. Huh? I heard an echo. I thought it was right there. Right there. Just look it over and find five. Find five, and don't have to tell anybody. Just memorize them quickly. I'll give you just another few seconds. Okay, and in fact, when you're telling me the five, then you can make them up as you go along. You can find them as we go along. Okay, what are your five?
Okay, find the knot.
Just point to them.
All right. A knot.
One.
Painted.
Two.
It's a smooth surface.
Yeah.
It's a rectangular shape.
Yeah.
It drops evenly on each end.
Okay, you like those five?
Sure.
Okay, then here are your five.
We've got a piece of bark, two holes, and two pieces of grain.
Okay, give me a fifth.
Oh,
that's a fifth. That was five, wasn't it? Okay. You see, people remember how many parts they have in their outline. What is your outline?
Well, I like the way it looks when I look down there.
Yeah.
And I like the way it feels soft.
A little louder. She likes the way it looks when she looks down there. She likes the way it's soft.
It's soft. It has moss on the side.
Okay.
It has a beautiful knot right here. Mm-hmm. And a terrible wound right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of beautiful little mark on the side.
Okay. Remember the words she used. What was your first word? Essentially, was a word of what?
Sight.
Sight. What?
Sight.
Appreciation.
Appreciation, perhaps, and of sight. Okay, appreciation, she used the word sight. What was your second? What was the second?
I like the way it's smooth.
Texture?
Very much texture and tactile. Very much in that. First one was quite visual. What was your third one?
And it's beautiful. Not right.
Not. Okay, you identified it. And what'd you call that?
A terrible wound.
A terrible wound. Now where's she talking from?
Emotional.
Emotional, very emotional gut level statement. She said, "Hello, tree, can you get a wound?" She knows a tree can get a wound. And what was the other one?
And this interesting mark.
Yes, and that, what was that? What's that, this interesting mark? That's kind of an aesthetic statement, yeah. Okay. Did you have an aesthetic, kind of a beauty mark on yours?
Yeah.
She knows it right away. Have you got a beauty mark, Bart? Oh, of course. You got. Yours is the bark? I don't know him so well. Are you a doctor laughing there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and what about the five parts of this piece of information?
Looking. This one's looking at me.
Oh, this one's looking at you.
This one is pressed together. Yeah, I'm just seeing it pressed together.
I see it.
This fellow was missed out. You know, something was on top of him.
And it's out.
So he's all alone here.
He's all alone.
Just spattered here. Mm. And then something made it really.
You notice the way people describe the five parts, huh? And how would you like to have to memorize hers? I wouldn't either. I wouldn't like to have to memorize anyone's five parts at the expense of saying my own. Yeah. I really wouldn't like to have to memorize five parts of someone else at the expense of my own original five parts. And which of these five are you going to remember the most?
Maybe the wound.
Oh, she's even got the parts of her. She doesn't even assume I meant that you might.
Oh, then you pointed to me.
I did. Yes, but I thought you might remember his five parts.
No?
In an hour, with all the doors closed, you can just study it. You don't even remember now? Did you hear that? Maybe you weren't loud enough. Oh. But you were able to find five parts, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Maybe 50.
What?
Maybe 50.
Maybe 50. And could you remember them all after you had found the 50? You don't think so? Well, you said
I
no.
List them.
Pardon?
I couldn't say it over again.
Could you find them later on the board? Probably. Oh, you know, an outline with 50 parts. Do you do that in, do you do that? Do theologians have parts?
Three?
Can't count higher than that.
Walter, this is great. I can't use this board. I've got to get an original piece of it. Oh, great. You don't know what a friend you are.
I'm finding out.
Yes, I am. I'd like to have you use this to describe the convention that you attended. just look it over and find some, any side of it, end of it, whatever, and start talking to us for a little while about the convention.
Well, there's a lot of rosin, and rosin burns easily. And I was, it was a little hot at the convention.
You picked that out quickly, didn't you?
Yes.
That usually what you pick out quickly gets to be Roman numeral one. It gets put to the front. Okay.
All right, well, a knot is caused by a foreign element in the wood as it grows, and the wood grows around it, so I suppose there were some things I was uncomfortable with at that convention. And at foreign elements, maybe, in the body of the church.
I never thought I'd see a theologian reading a board without any rehearsal. Where are you getting this information?
Mostly theologians turn into boards. I'll title this The Unfinished Convention.
Yes, of course. You can look at one thing and think of another. You can look at one thing and think of another. You can look at something and listen. You can look at something and see something that isn't in the room at all. A little child will, you know, how a little child will draw a picture of you without even looking at you. Won't even look up. And you wonder if the child knows. Well, it's very simple. A child draws a circle and a couple of, and that's you. Very, very much you. Because a child is not drawing what she sees. She's drawing who you are. That's really very profound. The child is really cutting through all of what she sees to draw what you and who you are to her. And that will determine perhaps the size of the arms and the feet. And you didn't know your arms were so long. What you didn't know is what your arms did so much. The love or the anger, and she sees it in the, she sees it, and that's what she's drawing. She's drawing the inside. She's drawing your attitude. Suppose you ask me to draw your attitude without even looking up. And she does it. She has the audacity to do it in a minute. Why, in a minute she can do a third. And then she will draw you. She will draw you in a boat. And she'll draw right through the boat. You can see your legs inside the boat. She can draw through the wood. Because she is not drawing what she sees, she's drawing what is there. That's a kind of insight. And then she draws through you, through the boat, and through you she draws a tree that is right behind the mountain that is behind you. All that. And she never heard of Picasso. And she can do all of that. She draws reality, not in terms of what she sees, because she knows that there's more than what she can see. She knows that what's true is also what she saw, and what she felt, and what she heard, and what she tasted, and what she knows. And that's really the kind of knowing that I think is the gospel. It's more than the eye sees, and more than the ear hears, and it's more than the hand touches, and it's more than food that you taste. It's more indeed than that. Luther says it's not only the bite, it's your neighbor in your courthouse, and my goodness, he finally gets everything into that piece of bread. It's Wonder Bread before Luther ever heard of Wonder Bread. Yeah. Walter and I have lots of things in common. They say we look like the Smith brothers. In fact, we are, and if you would like to leave us each a dollar afterwards, we'll send you some original cough drops and we can help. If you trust us and you really think we are. Walter and I, this last quarter, traveled a great deal together, both teaching at HAMA in Springfield and in LTS, Lutheran Theological Seminary in Columbus. I live in Minneapolis. I'm her brokering. Walter Bowman lives in Columbus, so I commute to work that way every week, and it worked out very well. Spent a lot of time in your home and enjoyed it. Okay, Walter likes this book, and,
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, he helped me like it. I wrote it, but he liked it more than I did, so I picked it up and looked at it again and kind of agreed that there was something there. Have you ever gotten busy going to do your next thing and your next thing, and you forgot kind of what this meant? And Walter helped me to reappreciate something. There's one back here, Walter, that I know you like about the word. It may fit in very well. Huh? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
This is the funny one.
It's great.
Yeah. Okay. Which line?
I have bifocals since we read this last, so I have to look over my.
You want to take the top line?
I'll take the top line. That's the bifocal line.
But you have to keep moving your head down because it goes down.
All right. You can watch where we are by the tilt of my chin.
Oh, I think I read about that. By the tilt of my chinny chin chin.
Buyer a Bible.
Any kind?
One like mine.
Oh, Revised Standard Version.
I guess that's what mine is. But be sure that what Jesus said is in red.
And do you want a concordance?
A what?
A concordance, you know, to look up cross-references.
Well, if it's not too expensive.
How much should it cost?
As little as possible, so long as it has what Jesus said in red.
Well, why are you so sold on red?
Because it's easy to find all the things Jesus said. You know, the familiar sayings, the stories he told, the Sermon on the Mount.
Well, how does it help?
Well, it helps to pick these out as you read along.
Are they more important?
What do you mean?
I mean, are the things that Jesus said more important than the rest?
The rest of what?
Well, the rest of his life. Like, is what Jesus said more important than what Jesus did?
Come again?
Are parables and stories more important than miracles?
What are you getting at?
Oh, nothing in particular. Just wondering why all the red ink for his speeches when he was really famous for what he did.
Oh.
And famous for who he was.
Well, then change the order.
Meaning what?
Well, get me one that prints all the things Jesus did in red.
There is no such Bible.
Why not?
Are you suggesting now that what he did is more important than what he said?
Now we're right back where we started.
I don't think so. I think that's a little bit of what's going on in the United States of America, too. This whole discussion of, just where is Jesus more true? In what he said or what he did? And if in understanding how a human learns, we know that language develops through some stages, such as a child is extremely holistic, just total, before the child speaks a word, just total. Can't say milk, can't recognize a picture of milk, knows milk when he has milk, and has it tactily, has it satisfying the inside so that it's a complete experience. When we get older, we wish sometimes for such a whole experience. And the child says nothing about it because the language of the child isn't divided down into words yet or isn't abstracted in words. But as language develops and as this event and other events develop, the child needs to store this information for memory. And the storage system is, well, some images. So she sees things or he sees things and he recognizes images. And images are extremely important, not only to us but to the child, but also to us. Images are important. Imagination, pictures, visualization, film strips, slides, we don't need them. Either one, very much. They're too slow. You image and see pictures all around. If you just stop to see what you see. And then the next stage is to word this, these pictures, to name them. To name the picture that is a representation of the event. And that is how language develops and gets stored, and so we store the words. That's just beautiful. That's just beautiful. Now, what we store is not only in terms of what we heard said by Christ and his church, but also what we saw done by Christ and his church, and what we felt tactily. And we don't just store sayings, but we also store deeds done. Now, I don't know any information that can't that doesn't belong to the church, you know. And I don't know any information that couldn't lead us to something in. Oh, this is so nice. It just it's a pattern. You know, a lot of things are pattern. So nice. This is a pattern. See ya?
Oh,
pardon? A pretzel.
Hmm.
I hadn't thought of that. What do you do when you hadn't thought of it and the student does? What do you do when you hadn't thought of it? You could be glad. You could be surprised. What title is? What's title? Any title. I have no title in mind. Give it several titles. Lots of them. Pardon?
Loops.
Loops. Yeah, loops. Pardon? Okay, knots and loops. Now think of an event and think of this happening to that event. I'm doing what is called a film. It's a motion picture. It's not a film strip, it's a short film clip. That's just what that was. I just did a short film clip. Name that short film clip. Just name it. Pardon? Here's the appearance is yours, all right?
Suffocating.
Pardon?
Suffocating.
All right, this is the one called suffocating. Let's give it some other names.
Uptight.
I hid it from you, didn't I? Yeah. All right. Were there other names?
Just a marriage.
A marriage. Okay, a marriage. Let's get a couple more. Nice marriage words. Uptight, suffocate. What was the other one?
I wasn't listening to theirs. I was thinking.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you know, in this kind of conversation, things aren't equal. That doesn't mean marriage equal, does it?
No.
No.
It's
no. Of course, you, right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Sure. And that's where the diversity comes in, that everyone's answer, the different answers, that really bothers some people because now they're looking for the one. How can you live in diversity? Well, it could mean community, couldn't it? Otherwise, it could mean you could be wiped out. You could wipe it out for the sake of the one. And diversity and differences, it doesn't mean we can't have community or oneness or the body that Christ talks of and us, all the members, the differences. You really liked yours, didn't you?
Sure.
Yeah, wow.
I got people, a sequel.
What's
naughty
that?
Problem.
Naughty problem. You can take the knot out for that. Oh, you're her. If you can just see, you know, this is kind of a poor person's way of going. If you can't afford film, you've got it. Studies have been made on creativity, and creativity has really been, you know, it's been strong in underprivileged communities. It was once called problem solving. No wonder. It's sometimes called if you don't get enough social approval in some criminal in some creative acts, they could be called criminal. They could be named criminal. If you're using certain material and putting it together and it blows up a building, that could be called a criminal act. If you do it another way, you could get an explosion called aha. And you could have a new hymn. The mental motion or the thinking processes are not all so different. They're not all so different. So it Walter, how is theology somehow involved in this kind of thinking? Just say something to me about it.
Yeah.
How does theology fit into some of what you've been seeing and hearing? What's the theology? What's me to think theologically?
I think I would say that everything creaturely is a vehicle for what God Himself is up to.
Okay, yeah, that's really nice. That's so nice. I could almost say stop and let's memorize that one. Everything what?
creaturely
is
a vehicle
for what God is up to. Oh, that's so nice. That is so nice. I don't usually hear profound things like that from theologians. I hear them from waitresses. Waitresses say marvelous things. And you know, kind of ordinary, hoi polloi people, but theologians don't usually get something going like that on the first sentence. That was really so nice. Yeah, Dick.
Okay, question for the theologian. Does different sometimes mean wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Now, if there is in these differences, you know, what we would say, something that's wrong, huh? If one said, and someone needed some, what does Scripture say? Someone then needs some testing. They need some, what does, in Timothy, they need some coaching, some examining. How can you handle someone whose answer is probably not maybe only not so much wrong, but that what can you do to someone's unusual answer? What can you do to that person? Name some things that you could do to her answer, what she just said about the five parts. What could you do? Because they don't agree with yours.
But it's wrong.
All right. Yours are wrong. They're not. That's not true. What you saw isn't true. Okay?
You're just not enlightened.
See, then they fight. Then they fight. What else could we say to her about her father? Just name some things. What else could we say?
We could ridicule, laugh.
Or what else could we do? Just more.
Be jealous.
We could be jealous. Okay.
She's better than I was.
Or, in other words, you might say that hers was not wrong, it was right. Huh? But let's suppose hers is really not Lutheran. Let's suppose that these other, well, Presbyterian, let's just say that these other answers, that way she saw it, is not the way it's been seen for years, and what she saw in these five are not what she, the way you saw. You don't know it, but that's Episcopalian. We could tell her that. Or we could tell her, you just quit looking at your board that way. I don't want to answer anything. I just want to raise the whole business of what does one do with diversity? Huh? And your answer is, yes, sometimes the way one says it or sees it is wrong. Maybe wrong meaning what? Meaning what?
Destructive.
Absolutely. Maybe even destructive. Maybe what? Different? Dangerous? Inappropriate?
Unsettling?
Maybe
incomplete.
Maybe incomplete. Uh-huh. Maybe incomplete. Huh. We have, let's do another one out of that. Let's do it out of breakout, huh?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask one question. You know, say if you ask her to describe the cousin what that rope was made of. Say it's some synthetic fiber.
Yeah.
And maybe there is one right answer.
That's another kind of question, yeah. Yeah.
And she says it appears to me it's made of hemp.
Yeah.
Or to her of silk.
Yeah.
Or to her of rayon.
That's right.
Obviously one of them.
That's right. And maybe there are different sets of questions that what one asks.
But maybe there are different names for what may really be the same.
But isn't reality the perception? You're asking, you know, I perceive that as hemp, or I perceive that as silk.
Until she learns it's hemp, for her it's silk.
When you're talking about absolute
knowledge. Yeah. God's knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. You know, that's an old philosophical question. Okay, but if she perceives it as silk, and it's really nylon, and she tries to burn it as a way of disposing of it, that's the point at which some difficulties may occur. What I hear her talking about is what I would call visions, action-shaping vision, and the kinds of questions that you introduced were really questions of fact. Sometimes questions of fact get us into trouble when we try to act on them. Sometimes visions are mistaken and get us into trouble when we act on them. But what Herb is talking about really belongs, I think, in the category of life-shaping vision.
I travel with Roland Bainton sometimes. This fall I will, in some parts of the Midwest. We'll be together in Renaissance festivals, and I'll go in a day, several times earlier into the town, so that when he comes in, there'll be an all-day festival, and he'll walk into a more sophisticated morning, a very family-like afternoon, and a Christmas night. And he will like that because he's a very physical person, and what he doesn't like the best is a classroom lecture hall. He really prefers a party. I mean, if he could talk about Erasmus at a party, he'd feel luckier than if he could talk about Erasmus behind the podium. Roland Bainton likes context. And he takes it seriously. He likes to be in one. He thinks that context is a continual thing. He thinks he's contextual. He's that way. You know, he really thinks that he has a sense of turf and territory. He thinks he's a geographic person. He thinks he's on a chronological line. He takes seriously about himself all the things that he takes seriously about the people he studies historically. And he thinks that that's the way life is. He really does believe that. And when I was with him in California last fall, I brought out not boards and ropes, but I mean we were in a motel that was, it had one thing going, that was rugs. That's all I can remember. It had rugs, and I wanted something else. So I looked backstage and I found a mop bucket with a beautiful mop in it. I mean, it was just a super, little soggy yet mop. You could still smell it. And one thing to have a mop that's dry, but another one that you can still smell. And it was just it was total mop. Totally, it had all the attributes of a mop. It had what's called mopness. And you know a mop when you see one, don't you? Well, this was a mop. No one had to ask, what is it? What they asked me is, what is it doing out there? Because I brought it out there at the podium. And Bainton and I were getting ready to go up there, and I got all these looks from a few people, and they felt like all looks. And I said to Roland Bainton, do you understand why I have the mop bucket there? He says, I understand it if you understand it. I mean, that's called trust. I said, I just want something physical because I feel like being with you is such a physical thing, and this room really needs something. He says, that's what I intend to say this afternoon. He says, it was Erasmus and Melanchthon who did this to us, and they took the physicalness. Now, that's what he said. All I'm saying is that Bainton also understood and understands the necessity of just being on location. I was on location. You are on location. You're on location right here. We could make a movie called You on Location. We're always on location. And where do you get your information, Herb? Well, there's so much, you just have to grab a little bit along the way. Someone said, go fly a kite, and I said, okay, I will. And that was on location. It was a moment of anger. Someone said, go fly a kite.
Okay, I will.
I'm just kidding.
I told you, I will.
Oh, come now.
I'll make it myself. I'll fly my own kite.
I didn't mean anything. It's just an expression.
Here, give me the newspaper. I'll make a real up-to-date kite.
But I didn't finish reading it.
I'll take this big sheet and all the front page news.
And that's the part I didn't read.
Then read it. Read it while I work. Read it. The war, the cartoons, the crash, the rocket, the election, the robbery, the march.
Not so fast. Look, you folded this one in half. I wanted to read it.
And I'll glue it to these sticks.
Hey, this is pretty grim reading. Hold still.
And I'll bend this cross piece like a bowl. That'll put wind into this page.
Careful.
That'll make all this front page news go and go and go.
Can I help?
Sure, if you want. This string goes through here. Right through the O in the word rocket.
Here, I'll tie this knot.
And I'll fly my kite.
Oh, come now, really. I didn't mean it as a literal statement. You know, it's just a saying.
Not for me. Here's 5,000 feet of string. Here you go. 1 mile of string. Straight, white string.
Are you angry?
I feel the wind. Wind, wind. Here it comes.
Tell me, are you angry?
I'm glad. Go, kite, go. Fly, fly, fly.
Oh, it is.
Higher, kite, higher.
Oh, the wind seems strong.
The wind is strong. The string is long. The news is strong and long, strong and long.
There it goes.
Here it comes, God.
Oh, come now, don't take it out on God.
You don't understand. You don't understand. Here comes my war, God. My rocket, my new governor, my president. Enemies?
Meaning what?
Here comes my world, God. Take it. Oh, the tug on the string.
Hey, it looks like fun.
It's great.
To fly a kite?
To fly the morning news before the face of the Lord God. To set it floating, tense and free and high before God's face.
Oh.
Look, Lord God Almighty, look. Look at the headlines. See every line and every word. It's in my news. This is my world.
Well, it's mine too.
It's our world, Lord.
May I hold it?
You must.
Oh, I'm so sorry I said...
No, don't be sorry. It's good that we can fly a kite.
I want to kind of close on asking you, what did in this reading, what do you think the idea is? What's the meaning to you? Okay, let's hear some. What's the meaning of that episode? I think the gospel is episodic. It travels in stories and episodes and little vignettes that are visual and verbal and little spats and little fights and little kiss and make up between Old Testament and New Testament communities and early church and us now. What did you sense in this?
You moved from division to unity.
Moved from division to unity.
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation. You're so sure of that, aren't you? Why, his head's just going. Yeah. That's called authorship, when your head is good. It's also called authority. And everyone has a right to both. So what else could you, how else could you tie
it? From negative to positive.
From the negative to the positive. Oh, it's just to give
transformation.
Some. Transformation, yeah. Yeah. Huh. Give some other titles to those impressions. Meaning, what does this mean?
Releasing our frustration.
Releasing frustrations.
Freedom.
Words into deeds. Words into deeds, yeah.
What is it? Prayer.
Prayer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say what you
have
to say about Romans and freedom?
Well, Walter, I didn't realize you lectured on this morning, huh?
I didn't either.
Oh, we have an interpreter here, huh? Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, what else comes to mind, even if it doesn't seem to fit what you heard? What did you hear?
Joy.
Yeah.
good use of a newspaper.
You mean that God could read it? Pardon?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Giving our troubles to God.
Hmm. And God reading over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And he's tugging on it.
Pardon?
And he's tugging.
Yeah, on it. Yeah, he's tugging on it. Yeah. And whose is it? God's and?
Ours.
Ours. It was mine and it was his and then it became ours. Yeah. Hmm.
What would you have done if you would have said, go suck yourself?
I guess I could tell you tomorrow. Well, the first thing I'd have done is I'd have been surprised. and rather, I don't know. Yeah, that's right. Oh, very good.
You ought to do an eye-opener yet.
All right. Eye-opener, they're little stories, little parables. Like once there was, there was a boy who liked cracking rocks, and he always thought how he was the first to see the inside of the rock. He opened thousands of them, and when he was older, he waited for the sun to rise. In the winter, he was the first to walk across the new snow, and now he is a morning milkman. He still likes to crack things open. Once I knew a boy who was always sent to his room when he was bad, and now he is older and has had more time to be bad. The government has given him a room of his own. He is painting a picture for a window. He has to stay in his new room for 140 years. He is bad, just like they always said. Once there was a girl who learned all about germs. Her home was always sterile, and she never drank from someone's cup. She never missed school. When she came to communion, there was just one cup. She pretended to drink it, and her lips never touched it, and she did not get anything to drink. She is in excellent health, according to the medical records. These all kind of come out of Holden's lifestyle. Well, this one maybe not, but well, who knows? Once there was a girl who was Mary on Christmas Eve. She reminded everyone of Mary, and she didn't even have to volunteer. And then she met a fellow named Joe, and he was older, and he was good to her. Her skin is still soft, and she cannot be Mary this Christmas because she is pregnant. Well, they'll find a little girl. Once there was a boy who lay on his back and he counted the stars, and when he was 12 years old, he knew the sky by heart. He wears thick glasses now, and he studies mathematics, and he leans over his paper, and he figures out the stars. He can do it without even looking up. And now his little girl is looking up at the sky, and she wishes that he would too. I'll close with this one. Fits perhaps all of us, some of us more. Once there was a girl, these are all true. I mean, all of these were at least partly true, so I completed the truth. Once there was a girl who had a special speech defect, and when she was older, she went to a modeling school to learn how to be more graceful, and while doing it, her speech defect seemed to fit in with the new way that she walked. She dances beautifully, and those who know her especially like the way she talks. Now she teaches dancing to a professor of languages who thinks he was born with a dancing defect. Okay. I like it. If some of you are going to be here a while and you write things, we'll have a night in the Village Center. We'll turn the lights low and we'll get you a little stump. We'll put it soft on you and get a little flute or a little music in the background. You won't know how great it sounds. if you don't have anything, just before you mail a letter home, just take a letter like that you're going to mail anyway and read it. Soft lights and a little background music. Dear Mom, that's nice. We haven't done it much, but... or a lover's letter, you know. We could put a blanket over you. No one would see who you are. We could have a little Song of Solomon. Just try us out. I mean, it's your village. We're reading and doing these things in the front of you so that you do it in the front of us and in the front of each other. That's really what we want to do. We want to encourage you to do it too. Okay.
Okay.